Hey, y'all. This one is explicit.
What's up, Elsie?
What's going on? Oh my gosh.
How are you?
I'm frazzled. I have to say I'm frazzled.
You are?
I am.
The holidays frazzle you. Why does it? I feel like that shouldn't surprise me, but it does.
I know. I'm frazzled. I think, you know what it was? It was really my undertaking of the Thanks Podcasting project. And when I started. I'm sorry? It was a lot. Yes,
it was a lot.
But then there's all of this extra stuff that I think last year I made sure sort of like to like really sit back and see what was going to happen. I believe I did like a little like planning something or other, like a planning date. I had a planning date with myself, I think at the beginning of November, to like really see what needed to go out until the end of the year. Because what happens with Libsyn usually is there's a lot of gathering of information that has happened in the year and reports need to be put out. And then there's like the yearly blog posts that come out sort of like, you know, there's a blog post of the top things that Libsyn did in 2015. Then there's the Rockin' Libsyn podcast for 2015. Then there's the, you know, there's like all of these extra things and promotions that are going on in addition to Thanks Podcasting that are now cobbled together. In addition to all the stuff that we're doing and all the other stuff that needs to happen. And so I'm sort of like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing that needs to happen here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Recording. Let's wing it. So we're winging it this time, people.
This is the first time in, I don't even know what number episode this is, but I know it's like got to be around 80. In 80 episodes.
Yes.
That we have not had show notes when we recorded.
Yes.
The very first time. And I know.
I'm freaking out.
Elsie is either A, freaking out, or B, too frazzled to give an F.
Well, I am both. You know what? I think I'm both. I'm both. At first I was like, I have to make this. Because you know what it is? I keep thinking like, I have to make this valuable. It doesn't matter for me. I'm like so torn because there's so much information that I have. Like I was opening up.
But that's
like,
all the time, though, Elsie.
Well, I know, but
all
I wanted to make it cohesive and like, you know, this is the episode about X or this is the episode about Y. And then when you listen to this, you will get, I don't know, this type of information. And I just
don't you think?
What?
Go ahead.
No, you finish.
No, I'm just saying. Don't you think that we could just evolve from that though? 2 years later?
We can.
But a little.
Yeah, but there are some points that need to be pointed out. And you know what, Jess? I have to say, you're amazing off the cuff. You're amazing off the cuff.
I'm pretty good.
I don't feel
like
I don't have that power. I know. I don't have that, like, I don't feel comfortable off the cuff.
Well, I'll help you. How about if I lead today's podcast?
Then? All right. How about you lead? There you go. You lead. I'll follow.
Since I'm better off the cuff, let's just see if I can pull our shit together off the top of my head.
Okay.
So first, let's talk about our sponsors because not just to get it out of the way, but because it's important and we love them. So I want to thank John Bucanis from Audio Editing Solutions because he edits our. So far, it's going well, right? And no.
Yes.
He edits our podcast and he does special. He told us how to record in a special way so that it sounds better. And we're eternally grateful to him. So I just want to say thank you. And then also we picked up Boss Jock as a sponsor again. And we're super excited. We did a webinar for them right before Thanksgiving break where we learned about how to use Boss Jock and Libsyn together to do really powerful on the go podcasting. We had a lot of good response from it from people who were just like, this is really the best way to either take it to the next level, be spontaneous, podcast while traveling, whatever. And it's free. And so I believe the website, I mean, I created
I just
can't remember.
Shepodcast.com/on the go. On the go, one word, like on the go altogether. All three words into one smashed up word.
Yes. On the go. Shepodcast.com/on the go. And so those are two sponsors that we want to thank. And so thank you so much, Boss Jock. Thank you so much, John. We love you. And then I think we wanted to talk about some quick holiday catch up because like Elsie and I, right around Thanksgiving, we were talking about Black Friday. First of all, what did you do for Thanksgiving? We should talk about that. I need to know what the Escobar house eats.
Well, you know what? It was really kind of neat because this was the first Thanksgiving that we haven't spent it either with my family or with Randy's family. So this was the first sort of like Thanksgiving that we had here, like up in the mountain with our neighbors. So we all kind of like mixed together. It was their family and our family. And it was amazing. I didn't do this, but our neighbor did, a traducken. So she stuffed like a turkey and then there was a duck and then there was it was a turkey, a chicken, and then a duck. And then inside the duck was sausage.
Stop it.
It was like super rad. It was so good.
You did a turducken.
It was a turduckage, yes. And it was cooked in a slow cooker, and it was so delicious. It was so yummy.
It was so delicious?
It was so delicious. So
ducks
good.
Ducks are very fatty. That's probably why it was so delicious.
There was bacon. Of course there was bacon somewhere around there, too. I forgot.
Are you sure? It wasn't just the duck?
It was just lots of stuff. It was like really delicious.
A plethora of meat.
Yes. And we had, and I made these amazing, like, how do you say this cheese? Gruyere?
Gruyere.
I can't even say it. My tongue.
Like groin? Like Gruyere.
Okay, Gruyere.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Gruyere.
Okay, Gruyere. Mm-hmm. I made this Gruyere Brussels sprouts casserole that had bacon, of course, in it. Bacon, lots of bacon and butter. And lots of
that's the only way you can eat Brussels sprouts is with bacon.
Oh my God, it was so good. It was like the cheese, but it was like so cheesy and num, num, num. Mm. And then I made almost completely sugar-free cranberry sauce, which was sweetened only with orange juice. And I did end up putting half a cup of coconut sugar in it. Oh my God, that was so good too. It was like one of those, I kept telling people, you guys, if you have this, it feels like somebody punched you in the face because it was like, it was so full of ginger and so full of like the tartness of the cranberries and cloves that it was like, bam. But it went perfectly well with everything
else. Sounds delicious.
Everybody
though.
Totally loved it, and of course there were extra things that were also brought by other people. Oh my God! And like obviously homemade pumpkin pie, but homemade what's that the cream thing that goes on top of it?
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
Oh my God!
That
you never had homemade whipped cream before?
No, well, of course, but not in that large. I mean, it was, and of course, it was homemade whipped cream, but it was also homemade whipped cream with raw milk. And of course, everything's organic and everything was like, you know, so yeah, there's something pretty stellar about that stuff.
That sounds amazing.
That's what it was like. So, how about you?
Amazeballs.
How is your Thanksgiving?
Normally, I cook Thanksgiving.
Oh.
We used to always go to Scott's father's house for Thanksgiving, but they like to mix up the recipes every year, and I always hated that.
Oh.
And so when he passed away, I decided I was always going to do it, and it would always be the same. But this year, we did not do that because Scott is still struggling with the lung thing, and so he's basically like, you guys, we can't do Thanksgiving. And I'm like, why? You don't have to do anything. And he's like, yeah, but I will, though. And I'm like, well, just don't. And he's like, I can't. So in other words, what he's saying is if you have Thanksgiving, I'll be forced to help because I can't stop myself is really what he's saying. And he's right. He can't stop himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know he can. He's going to have to clean up or do whatever. So we ended up making reservations and going out to this restaurant called the Concordville Inn. It was actually pretty good. It's just that the temperature in there was very warm, I guess because they thought it was going to be a cold day. And of course, Thursday ended up to be like 70 degrees for some reason.
It was insane. It was so mild.
It was so ridiculous.
It's been so mild. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the food, besides they had, of course, turkey and stuffing and mashed and sweet. And they had a carving station of prime rib as well as the turkey. And then they also had fried crab cakes. And then they also had chicken marsala. And they also had like any pasta. And they also had like every kind of cake and pie imaginable. It was really good. I took one bite of the turkey and decided I could not go the rest of the weekend without leftovers. When we left there, we stopped at the grocery store. We stopped at Wegmans and I got honey brine turkey breast. And Wegmans is, if those of you who are listening do not have Wegmans or you're not familiar with it, because it's a more northeast chain of grocery stores.
I've never heard of it.
It's kind of like a Whole Foods and a Korean grocery store and a kosher deli and Williams and Sonoma. Like they just everything in there. And also they pre-make so many things that you could literally just go in there and have breakfast, lunch, and dinner and have it all be homemade and organic and fresh. And anyway, so they, of course they make, you know, potatoes and they make sweet potatoes and they make, you know, they have the cranberry already and they have the gravy already. So I just bought all that crap, brought it home, and then made the turkey breast. And it literally took an hour. And then I had my leftovers and they were good.
Oh,
they weren't
cool.
The same as what I ate.
Right.
But it was pretty good. So I was happy. Because, I mean, when you go to a restaurant for Thanksgiving and, yeah, they have turkey and whatever, but then they have prime rib and crab cakes, like, you're kind of not into the turkey. Like, why would I eat turkey when there's crab cakes? They were so good.
Oh, my God. That sounds delicious.
I made
myself
ill. I ate so much crab. I was sick as a dog after. I don't know about you. Too much crab makes my stomach angry as hell.
I have not had crab in so long. So
really? You don't shellfish?
I love shellfish, but I haven't had crab in a long time.
You just haven't had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it made me violently ill. I think I had like 5 crab cakes.
Oh my gosh.
It's horrible. I know, but they were delicious. Forever. I couldn't stop myself. Anyway.
And my mouth is watering now, by the way. Just
I'm sorry.
You. It's all right.
I don't even like, I'll be honest, I don't even like fried crab cakes. I usually only like them broiled. But God, they were like lumpy in the middle and just divine. So I was happy. So it was a good meal, but not my usual. My usual is very traditional.
Right.
Butter, salt, pepper on the turkey. Cook it all day. Butter in the,
butter.
You know, butter and cream and milk
butter.
And the taters.
And butter.
Oh, yeah. So much butter. I mean, you have to buy like 8 boxes of butter. Not 8 sticks, but 8 boxes. Because you need butter in the sweet, butter in the mash, butter in the stuffing, butter on the turkey, butter in the gravy. You just need butter on the rolls.
This is the butter episode. Yeah, it was
like an IV of butter for this meal.
Oh my God, it was
true.
So good. No, it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
It
butter does make things happy. So yeah, we had a very, very delicious time together, and I did eat a lot. I mean, I didn't think I didn't want to eat a lot. It was just
no
a lot.
One ever
all of
does.
A sudden, it was like, oh my God, my stomach is so full of stuff. But no, it was all super yummy, super, super
no
yummy,
ever
delicious.
Wants to eat as much as they did. I mean, yeah, everyone there was just like, why did I eat all this? I mean, you know you're going to, and yet still it sneaks up on you.
It does. And mind you, all of our like bready things were also gluten-free, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. There were these mm-hmm. like sweet potato biscuits that she made that were gluten-free, made with oat flour. Num, num, num. So good.
So does that make you less want to dig a hole and bury yourself in it after the meal?
I don't know what that
gluten-free?
Means. I'm not sure what it is. It's just that it doesn't have wheat. It just has better types of flours in it. So there was really no wheat on the table. And you have the white flour type stuff. We didn't really have any of that stuff. We also didn't even have any stuffing either because that wasn't, yeah. So, so there was all kinds of, it was all very, like, it was a very highly, you know, organic and fresh.
A very
and,
Whole Foods Christmas.
And
is the name of your Christmas special.
Yeah, exactly. A very Whole Foods paleo-ish, you know, thing happening that we had.
Perfect.
So it was, Beautiful. But it was very delicious and yummy. And I thought there was going to be leftovers, and there weren't.
No?
No. It was like people really ate a lot of food, and it was pretty amazing how much was eaten. So yeah, so that was it. That was fun though. It was really good.
Yeah, good stuff.
It was a lovely, lovely time.
And yeah, I was happy because I have both my kids together. It's the first time all 5 of us have ever ridden in a car together.
Oh my God, how fun!
Isn't that funny?
Oh yeah. How did how did Isaac behave at the restaurant?
A doll, as always.
Aww.
But so my son at this moment has he's perfect except for 3 flaws. Flaw number one, when he's done, and sometimes even when he's not done, he will throw the food on the floor, and not just like throw, but like he will look me dead in the eyes as he slowly picks it up off his plate and moves his arm to the side and drops it like an evil mastermind.
Oh my God.
Like he's tempting me to stop him.
So
flaw
funny.
Number 2 is that he smashies on the tray also.
Uh-huh.
And so occasionally he'll just do a big splat, splat, splat. Like you think you're giving him food to eat. And he will. And it's always spontaneous. Like there's no sign that it's coming.
Yeah.
Splat, splat. And then I say, No smashy smashy. But he does it anyway. And then the third thing, of course, is that he will not sleep by himself, which is terrible and annoying.
But that doesn't have anything to do with you taking him out to the restaurant.
No, it right. doesn't. So then he was lovely in the restaurant. Oh, and I mean, another annoying habit is that if he sees a glass of water, he must drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. And then when he's not thirsty anymore, he must stick his hand in it. Must. And if you take it away and say, no, no, we're not going to stick our hand. And then he does a new thing where he'll screech and go, ah! In fact, he did it so much that I did a drive-thru at the pharmacy and the woman thought I had a bird in the car. Oh my God. And I was like, I have a bird in the car. Here, I'll pull up so you can see him. And she goes, well, is he in a cage? I see the baby. And I was like, no, that's the bird. That is the bird. And she was like, oh, that's you making that noise? Like, she couldn't believe it.
That's hilarious.
So ridiculous.
Oh,
he's
my
so
God.
Ridiculous. Ah! And I mean, it's loud. It's really loud. And he's taken to doing it, like, everywhere. And it's jarring, like, strangers stare.
Of course, because... And I'm sure it's super scary because I can see little Isaac's face because he's got this little angel face.
He's an angel
giant,
face.
Giant brown eyes. And so that I have him not make that noise and people turn around and he just looks at them like.
He's just happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very happy. Ah! So ridiculous. Yeah. So,
oh, man.
So yeah. So he did that a couple times at the restaurant. For the most part, he just ate the crap out of the sweet potatoes. I mean, I couldn't believe how much he put away. Turkey and sweet potatoes. And I let him have pie. And then he went back to turkey. He did not particularly like the prime rib. And I wasn't giving him any crab. What else did he eat? Pickled green beans, I think. And like, I mean, he just ate. We just got him off formula. And now he drinks 3 bottles of milk a day and then regular food. And so he's been eating like a pig lately.
Wow.
He has been eating like he's never, I mean, really, like he's never had food before, even though he's had it for 8 months already.
That's nice. It's nice.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
Those sweet potatoes. Oh, speaking of sweet potatoes, I just found, I might be totally behind on this. I just found out that I can make sweet potatoes on my slow cooker. I had no idea.
Oh, my God, yes. Absolutely.
I had no idea because we don't have an oven right now, so.
Oh, there's not much you can't make in there, believe it or not.
I know, so I'm trying to figure out what other things I can. So if any of you have any ideas to send my way, I'd like to, you know, be.
Oh.
And these are things that I want to do for them, for my girls, is they need to have some healthy bready things that are not. Mm-hmm. White flour, like not regular cakes and things like that. But I need to, like, bake some breads. Can I bake breads in there? Or do I need
yes.
a break? Like, yeah. Oh, cool. Well, then I will try.
There's a book I have called 101 Crockpot Recipes. And it's like appetizers all the way through to desserts, including breads and stuff. And then there's a couple like Fix It and Forget It Big Cookbook.
Uh-huh.
There's these great cookbooks. I'll have to send you some because I never, like, I don't really use them. And then they have like revised and updated 700 great slow cooker recipes.
Oh my God. That is insane.
I know.
And I have a little baby one. So it's like a, not teeny. It's not the teeny tiny, like one person kind, but it's not the kind of like the regular crock pot that you see most people own. Mine's the one
What's
in between.
What's with the oven? Why don't you have an
well,
oven?
Well, it just broke. It broke.
Oh, it's broken.
It's a broken oven and we feel it's not worth our time to get it fixed. So we're probably going to have to buy a whole new thingy-majigger.
Can you just get like a big fancy toaster oven? Like one, the kind that can make chicken? It's $80. Like there's a Frigidaire six-slice convection toaster oven.
Totally. But here's the thing, though. Well, you saw the space that I have. There are no cabinets. There is nothing.
Just put it on top of the broken oven.
But then when are we going to cook? I mean, we have to use the top part.
Top part's not broken?
No, the top part's not broken.
Oh.
So like this, what do you call that? Stovetop?
Yeah.
Whatever. So I use the top part to cook
range.
And stuff. The range. Yes, the range is not open, but the I mean broken, but the oven is broken. So I do use the top of that. So and I did think about that, but again, there is no counter space to really put that giant thing. And here's another thing, because of course we always have these random things. The person who built this little cabin before my neighbor bought the property, he built this area, you know, and he decided he was going to do everything himself. So he put the electric, you know, stuff in and he did it really strangely. Like, so when you come into the house, Okay, so the light of the bathroom is connected to the light of the whole downstairs. So if you need a light to go to the bathroom, you have to turn all, you have to turn like the big light on for everything downstairs. So you can't just turn on the light of the bathroom.
What the hell was he thinking?
I don't know. It's crazy. And then there are all of these pluggy things on the wall, you know, like, what do you call those things? I keep forgetting words now. See, because I'm going to talk about that soon. But
outlet?
Outlets. Yeah. So there's a bunch of outlets are in the that are do not work. They just don't.
Oh, my God.
So then, like, they're right there, and they just don't work. And so there is one outlet that works downstairs that is not in an optimal position for any of the kitchen appliances to go into. So you have to be really careful about that stuff. There's like, I think there's two on a wall and only one of them works. And then there's two on the other wall and those work. But then there's one that doesn't work with the cooking stuff because it's like right next to the refrigerator and there's no space next to the refrigerator to put anything in there that's big. So anyway, those are the things we deal with in this house.
So I don't know how to fix any of those things.
I know. And I did think about that big oven thing. I did think about that. I might even talk to Randy about it.
Yeah, like
a
big old toaster oven.
Yeah.
You can cook a chicken in there, like a whole chicken.
I wonder if we can like
You can actually put the whole chicken in the crock, but you need a bigger crock. And they're not expensive.
No, I know.
Maybe that's just...
Maybe that would be it, to just buy a bigger crock.
You know what you need? Do you have a pressure cooker?
We do. We have a gigantic... Giant.
If you had a pressure cooker and a crock pot, I think you could be all set because you can do everything in a pressure cooker. You can saute, steam, slowly
roast.
But
it's giant. The pressure cooker is huge. It's like
Yeah, it's pretty big.
It's giant.
It's like a corn pot. I know. Mine's like a corn pot. You're right.
And Randy uses it a lot for canning stuff. He's been really into canning. So he's been canning
That's
things.
Cute. It's kind of cute. That's kind of adorable.
He loves the whole canning thing. You should see he gets so busy. He does it at night. When we all go to sleep, he cans.
He's canning things?
He's canning.
This is what happens when you don't have a television right there. Men are canning.
Oh, my God.
It's
really
funny.
Oh,
you'll
my
never
God.
See, you'll never see Jews canning at night. Hold on. Just the thought of that is hilarious.
Oh man! So yes,
my father,
he is.
Just the idea of my father making jams and jelly.
Yeah.
Or Scott. Or Scott. That's so funny.
I know. To have him see, this is what I have though, and he likes it. He's got the canning
stuff. But it's just that's my next T-shirt. Jews don't can things.
But you would love to have. I mean, wouldn't Jews love pantries full of food?
Of course.
Right. But I guess
the women might do it.
Yeah, that's
right.
The
men would never do it.
But
Jewish men don't can things.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, that made me cry. That's Woo. Anyway, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you need one of those. Well, if anybody has an idea on how Elsie can cook without taking up space, give her a ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah, it's a very small place. So anyway, yes. Next topic.
I just want to tell you this story. I told you both my son and my daughter were here in the house. Nate went back to his dad's because he had school this week. Mm-hmm. But Emily's still here. Anyway, Nate went with me to the grocery store. I was correcting him because Nate likes to make up his own words still from when he was a baby. So like
oh my God.
Or like his own pronunciation of things. So like to this day, to annoy me, he'll say vegetables instead of vegetables.
Uh-huh.
He's just annoying that way. So he said something and I corrected him. We were just pulling up to the grocery store and he goes, you know, in some cultures, children eat their parents. And I was like, you mean like for dinner? And he was like, yeah, for dinner, if they get out of line. And I was like, Nathan, you can't even stand to eat a pork chop with fat on it. You don't even like chicken on the bone. How are you going to eat your own mother? I said, and then he opens the car door. And as he opens the car door, Elsie, he goes, I never said I was going to eat you raw.
Oh, my God.
And a giant man was standing next to the car door.
Oh, my God.
And looks at Nate like he's like, I don't know, like from prison or something.
Oh,
like
my
he was
God.
A, like he was a like criminal.
Oh no.
And I didn't even notice this happen. I started walking away. Like, it didn't even occur to me that someone had heard him until I just started walking towards the door. He catches up to me and he goes, yeah, that guy totally didn't appreciate what I just said about you. And I was like, what guy? Some guy heard you say that. So funny.
I like how that went totally over your head and you just kept walking.
Because I kept walking.
It was part of a conversation.
Meanwhile, he's being humiliated.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's such a teenage moment, though, right? That's such a teenage thing to happen.
Yes. Totally teenage.
Hilarious. So funny.
That's no good.
Anyway.
No.
Good times.
It's that whole conversation about talking with your, you know, talking about eating your parents.
I mean, even that's just stupid. And then really, he's even making that up because I think what he's trying to say is that, you know, mothers eat their young.
Right.
But there are no animals that eat their own parent. And then he goes, because then when we told the story to Scott, he corrected him. And Scott goes, no, black widow spiders, look it up.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I don't think that children or spawn eat their parents. I think it's always the other way around. And it's usually, and if it's a couple or mating mates or mates, it's usually the female that eats the male. So.
Well, he was just annoyed with me, I guess.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Animals eat their parent. Now I'm Googling it.
Oh, great.
He's not even here anymore, so it doesn't matter. But still, it was a pretty funny thing to happen to him. Well, he was with me. I mean, even if he was with his sister, it could have gone. Some animals eat their moms. Oh my God, it's true. And other cannibalism facts.
Oh, great. Okay, well, there you have it.
He was right. Black widow spiders and praying mantises
eat.
I'll be damned.
Their moms?
They eat their parents.
They eat their parents. Well, the black widow spiders seem to eat everybody. Their children.
Several spider species practice matrophagy. Baby ground spiders filmed in southwest France eat and their dead mother. Oh, well, the mom has to be dead first. They're not going to kill. It doesn't matter. Why are we even talking? This is so gross. Can we please change the subject? Jesus.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. So, yes, you're leading. You're leading. So you changed.
I didn't think we would get all technical, but you're right. I did bring it up. Okay.
Okay.
So the next topic I think we should discuss, since we've covered Thanksgiving now for a half hour.
Yes,
we have. Talking about getting ready for the year. I mean, we have kind of discussed like making goals for your year. For the next year for your podcast. And so, I don't know, I just thought we could come back around to it to, I guess, advise people how to, I guess, go about setting goals. You said you had carved out planning time. Was that for this show or all your shows or life in general?
That was for life in general because I had felt that I'm feeling right now how I've felt in the past, which is like there is so much to do and it's – and I don't put pressure on myself because of the holidays, in quotes, you know, like all of the family stuff doesn't really stress me out at all. We're pretty mellow when it comes to that. That's not really pressure. Even shopping isn't really a pressure. Like we don't have any of that pressure. But what I do feel is that for work related things, there is a lot of things that need to get done. And
for Libsyn or for us?
For Libsyn. We didn't have this going on last year. I mean, we did podcast, but we didn't have this level of thing happening. And
it's true.
And, you know, and so I didn't plan this time because there's a lot. Again, there's just inventory to be done. There's like extra work above the everyday type of work that I do. Mm-hmm. So I found that I'm working at least at minimum 10 hours a week extra just to kind of keep it up and then do the extra stuff. And there's still so much more that I feel needs to be done. And and this time we have She Podcast stuff. We have at clients, you know, individual clients that we're working with. And and then there's the ideas because it's like I just found so I did a course last year called Podcasting Growth for the Holidays. And it was my And it was so – I think it's a great little course. It's so –
You should do it again.
Well, it's a little too – this is what I'm saying. I have it and I wanted to do it and I'm like I wanted to kind of like grow it just a tiny little bit more, make it a, like, you know, streamline certain things, contact the people that did it last year before to make sure things are working out with it, or like what they liked and what they didn't like, so that I could really streamline it. And then time just went by. I am going to rebrand it in some way because I do have it. So, but here's the thing, Jess. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I wish I could have offered like something like that for our 50% off sale that we just had, right?
Why can't we put a sale on it or promote it for Christmas? And
that's a possibility in addition to all the crap that I'm doing. But see, this is what I'm saying. So anyway, I was searching. I was like, okay, maybe I want to add some of the things that I do in that course for this recording. So I searched in my computer. I have an entire PDF that I did for that. I didn't even know I did that. I'm going to send it to you so that you can see it.
Elsie. I think one of your biggest problems is you don't realize what you've already created.
I know.
It gets lost in the kerfluffle and never comes to light. Like, the Skype course is a perfect example. I've been waiting 3 months for you to create MP3s and PDFs that already exist.
I know.
They already were there.
I know.
And here it is on your to-do list, weighing on you heavily.
And I did
it. How could you not remember that you already did it, though?
I don't know.
That's the part I don't understand. I know when I create that crap. I mean, I at least can remember some piece of starting it.
Well, you know what
I think? What happened?
I think what happened is I created it, and then something was happening at the time.
Yeah, maybe.
In the transition between...
It was in the... It was probably... Yes.
It was after Podcasting School for Women, and it was...
But when right you before were redoing, Podcast Movement.
Yeah. And then you were redoing the She Podcast page. And so it was like, I didn't want to... Like, it wasn't important at that time. Like, it wasn't necessary to get that done at that time. I'm like, oh, I will let her know when it's ready. You know, that's what I said.
Yes.
I'm to my
and
head
then
in my
that
own...
went on for 6 months.
Yes. And I forgot. And you know what? Now I'm starting to remember. I remember uploading all of that information up there.
Yeah.
So it's there.
I'm just saying, I wonder how many other pieces of content that are sitting there waiting to be enjoyed with the rest of us.
Yes. And I do have a lot. And I think that part, you're right. I have to like look through my stuff. But anyway, so I'm feeling a little bit.
And then make a list of stuff that you'd like to share with everyone else that shouldn't be kept for just Elsie.
Because it's not supposed to be just for me, which is the whole point. So,
well, you need to do Libsyn inventory and Elsie inventory.
I do need to do that.
That's what I think.
So, but anyway, all
not
of
to
that
put another
stuff
thing
has
on
been,
your to-do list,
right? And so, adding, and then just really basic, like, and then I have people wanting to schedule conversations with me about tech. This is not like our listeners. This is like, there's somebody who reached out to me about some new company that they're making, and it's not like it's not a how to edit your podcast thing, and it's not an app like Clamor type of thing, but it's something else. And I thought, like, at first I was gonna skip it if it was another, like, you know, how we edit your podcast type of company. I was like, oh, there's a lot of those and we like a lot of our people already. And but this was something completely different, so I decided, yeah, I'm cool, I will chat with you, CEO person. And then, like, this was like on, I think, Wednesday last week. And then I get an email from him on Thursday. I get an email from, this was on Thanksgiving. Then I get an email from his assistant, I believe on Thanksgiving night. And then a follow up on Friday. And then I finally emailed him, like, dude, hello, this is a holiday, at least in the US. Please contact me on Monday and then we can discuss. I was just like, Jesus, not even like nobody's done trying to schedule appointments with me on Thanksgiving.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Where is he from?
I can't even remember the company, for God's sake. Now you're going to make me look.
But it's not. No, you don't have to look. But it's not an American company. You already know that.
I don't even know. I think that they're going to be selling it here or whatever their service is here. So I'm trying to figure out because they're going to. I don't even remember what the company is, for goodness sake. So I'm going to have to figure it out. Yeah. So it's an interesting, I think it's some kind of, oh, I remember now that it's here. It's a process company. So it's a company that helps you streamline your podcasting workflow to manage workflows. Not specifically for podcasting, but possibly for, can be very specific to podcasting within it. And I believe the company is called process.st. So it's the simplest way to manage recurring workflows for your team.
Hmm.
So it seems like it is, it would be, I was thinking like, oh, that'd be really neat. Because we've been thinking about, you know, outsourcing certain things. And then you've been thinking about the whole outsourcing of the webinar stuff. And I thought, that's an interesting concept that I feel is above something like Asana, you know, or Basecamp or something like that, that have,
yeah, yeah,
like, that you can do that and you can share those projects with other people. I have a feeling this is a step above that. So I'm going to be talking with the guy. They're going to give me a, what do you call it? Like a walkthrough or whatever of their concept. And he specifically pitched me on a podcasting workflow. So I was like, okay, I'll listen. I'll listen to what you have to say. Maybe our ladies will like it. So we will know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
True. That's what I said. Interesting. Just don't contact me on Thanksgiving, though. So yes. So anyway, the preparation. So if I were to say at this moment, if I were to tell anybody, maybe right now, start to evaluate what you would change and actually write this down on a document or something that you can access for next year and start to evaluate at this moment, however you're feeling and the things that you wish you would have done for yourself to prepare for the end of the year. That's number one. What you would have done for yourself to prepare for the end of the year so that you would not be experiencing whatever you're experiencing that isn't the optimal feeling, like overwhelm or anxiety or whatever. So that you can start to check it out and then really dream up the end scenario. And the other thing that I want you guys to start to really, this would be like the starting point, is make sure that if at this moment, at the end of the year, when you are trying to evaluate, do you have some data? Do you have some information that you're missing that you wish you had? So in order to evaluate properly. Let's say you are doing, you know, you're looking at your podcast growth and you feel like, well, I only have download numbers. I wish I had an email list, or I wish that I had information about how what's going on with my social media engagement, you know, or I wish I would have written down how many followers I had on Instagram in January so that I knew how many I grew in a year or something like that. Start to think about the data that you wish that you had now that you don't. So that you can write that down on your list and prepare for next year. Because that's always so very helpful so that you know. Those are my two things that I would do right now if I was me.
What do you want to be different by the end of next year?
Of next year? I wish that I...
Like when we have this conversation next year, what will you be glad you or we have accomplished?
I think maybe a little bit more organization.
Yes, I agree.
Because
planning ahead, not planning, even organization.
Yeah.
I would like more planning ahead and less doing it the week of one flipping time.
Yeah. And I think
one time.
Yeah, I think that would be it. And you know, to that end, I know what my duties are for the end of the year. Like I know that. I also began this year with the foresight of wanting to do very specific, wonderful things, especially that, you know, that my little mini course of, that we're talking about, the podcasting growth for the holidays course, which I think is very unique and it's very me and it's very helpful. And I wanted to have it out. I really wanted to make it a bigger thing. And I didn't follow through with that at all. Like I let other things take over my energy.
I just
that.
Had an idea on how we could do it.
How?
Because it's December.
Right.
I think the way you start to just say, instead of saying like, let's start planning ahead, I think a great way to do it would be like, okay, right now, this month, we have to complete everything we're going to do in February.
Right. Well, remember that book I told you?
Yeah.
The 12 week year?
Yes.
That book is fabulous. And that's another one that I want. I actually want to get the physical because I have it in audio.
Forget the reading. No, wait. Let's just do this.
Right.
Right now, we're going to plan everything we're doing in February. And then January, we're going to plan everything we're doing in March. And then February, we're going to plan everything we're doing in April and May. And this way, we'll have 2 months of radio silence, but it's the holidays and no one cares. And then we'll finally be ahead.
Yeah.
Finally be ahead.
That would be so nice, wouldn't it?
let's try it, Elsie.
Let's try it.
To be honest with you, like, if we're going to do something like another workshop or something, podcast movement, we really have to, like, if we're going to start talking about it in February and March, we should really plan it out now so that I'm not getting sponsors and doing whatever we need to do in June for July.
The
really
week
sucked.
Before we leave, where's the money?
Yeah.
What are we going to buy? Yeah, remember? Yeah. We already have gifts. Remember the gifts that we bought?
I know. We have gifts already, you guys. We don't even have a thing we're doing yet.
I know.
Anyway.
Those could be just like really nice.
We couldn't help ourselves.
We could just be giveaways. Those could be really nice giveaways too.
Yeah, they are. They would be, and they are.
We can bribe people to participate and do things for us to win one of those things. We're not even going to talk about them. But anyway. So yes.
Okay, but let's yes, I want to read that book, obviously, but I mean, like, I think we should just decree right now that we're not going to plan anything until February. And that way, whatever we do this month for She Podcast will not happen until later so that we're ahead of the schedule for once.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. You heard it all, folks. Nothing's happening on She Podcast except for maybe a sale on what we already have. And that's my goal for 2016 is to continue the whole smoke if you got 'em and not make anything new. I am halting the new making of things.
Yes, you have to. And me too, because I have all the material. Again, there's so much. I have
so much that I have not created or taken advantage of or really put out there. And I'm really done doing that. In fact, I keep thinking, like, maybe I should start Lady Business Radio back up again. Maybe I should start a new show with my sister. Maybe I should continue. I think I might even cancel the Money Cast because it just deters and it hurts my head.
Yeah.
I may just take it the heck down. I know that I feel strongly about it, but not the strongest about it of all the things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, like, I'm doing a voiceover class with Carrie Olson. I don't know if you guys know her. She's a podcaster and Derek Olson is her husband. Because I just signed up for her just to see, like, maybe she'll think I have talent. Maybe I'll think it's fun. Maybe whatever. And it's pulling me in much faster than I thought because it's so much more fun than I thought. Even though it's also harder than I thought it would be. But it's so fun that I would much rather do that than start talking about how podcasters make money and start that whole, like, it's not that I'm not passionate about it because you guys know that I am. It's just that it's not as fun as something else. And that has the potential to make more money than the Money Cast faster.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what we need to concentrate on. And that's something that both of us are really good at output, but we're not really good at, like, making richer the stuff that we already have. And that's been really apparent for me, not only for everything. Oh, my God. I was just looking at the last episode of Elsie's yoga class that I put up, which was called Tenacious Gratitude. It's a yoga class. It was like a level 2 yoga class, 90 minutes long. And I went and I, for some reason I land, oh, I was giving advice to somebody that asked a question about titling. And I went into my own blog post and I'm like, oh my God, I'm really good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really good. This is a great blog post. Like, this is so good. And I don't ever share those. So,
I know. I've been thinking about doing blog posts for She Podcast too, like writing articles. I think it would help our SEO.
Yeah.
Not that your show notes aren't great, but, like, I have some stuff to say.
Right.
Some podcasting
and
stuff.
So, and
just
here's
some
the thing.
Stuff in general.
Here, this is something
stuff.
This is the voice. Everybody that's listening, if you would like to step into the mix here, this is a voice that I feel is missing in podcasting. I feel that there's a lot of people who are writing about optimizing and leveraging podcasting for their business, for their platform, XYZ, blah, blah, blah. That's the space that is being, and it's more in an educational format. There's a lot of podcasts or articles, actually podcast articles, tutorials that are about that. And that's great because that's necessary from a variety of different places. And I believe that almost every entity is going to start to write something like that, like the HubSpots of the world. Now, pro bloggers is getting together something that is more about, you know, podcasting specific and all this stuff. Everything's going to be like that.
I love Darren Rouse. What a peach he is.
Peach.
Love
him. And I also feel that the procasters, the radio industry folks, the, you know, the Panoplies and the Podcast One and Slate, all of those, the BuzzFeeds, all of that conversation around the procasters, the people who are creating really high-end, highly produced content, which are kind of like, it's this, there are connections between radio, national public radio, and this really highly produced content. There is coverage on that. And actually, there's a lot of focus on that, especially when I'm seeing and researching podcasting in this space. So there's that conversation happening. But nobody is talking about the podcasters that I focused on, which was on Thanks Podcasting. Nobody's talking about the podcaster that's getting behind the mic like you and I that are just chatting about, not just, but see, that's the thing. It's like, there are some fans that we have, there are some people, there are some listeners that we have that we really resonate with and we really affect their lives. And no, we're not super hyper famous or anything. And in the Thanks Podcasting Project, which you guys should definitely listen to, and just go into iTunes and search for Thanks Podcasting. We have great search results right now. And you will listen to all of these other podcasters who I'm sure most of you have not heard of any of these guys that are having an impact on the people that they are reaching in a smaller space, in a smaller scope. And it's also affecting them. It's affecting them. It's making them a better human. Nobody's talking about that. And you know what? 95% of podcasters are there, not the 5% that gets the loudest megaphone. Nobody's talking in that. So my whole thing is like, if you want to get behind, you know, and do some blog posts or do some extra content or something that really serves the community, come on, their community, our Ladies and She podcasts are not, for the most part, the high-end type of podcaster peeps, right? And a lot of these people are coming in because they want to leverage a new podcast to add to their existing platform, but they don't really get how amazing the podcast community really is and what it can do. That's what I feel the voice is missing. Somebody who speaks for the people.
And that's you.
And that's
lady
me.
Of the people.
The lady of the people.
Voice of the people. Elsie Podcaster Escobar. Elsie,
yes.
As you were talking, I was imagining
the
Industrial Revolution in New York City in like 1920. Yes, I was. And here's why.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Because I fear that what you're saying is that, well, okay, so my grandfather came to this country from Poland in God knows what year, 1880 something, and he was 3 or 4, and he helped his parents sell groceries from a cart, oranges out of a wooden cart in New York. And then eventually made, you know, had his own grocery store, and he used to hang out with Henry Kraft, and they created, like, you know, a conglomerate. Carpel Foods was the name of the grocery store, and it was one of the first distributors to sell frozen food, actually, in this country. And then Kraft, I guess, had a different thing going on. He was making, but you know, the Kraft from like Kraft Foods or whatever. He and my grandfather were friends. Anyway, so to make a long story short, I'm wondering if in podcasting, the Krafts and the Walmarts and the Targets are pushing out the Carpel Foods. Now, that's not what happened to my grandfather. I mean, he had that until he died, basically. But I'm just saying, like, are the mom and pops disappearing in exchange for Best Buy, Walmart, Target, Kohl's, Kmart of podcasting? Like, is that what, I mean, yes, it's good, the finely tuned and edited corporate conglomerate podcasts. And we don't know whether or not it's necessarily what people want. But I sort of worry that what's great about podcasting is that the mom and pop store type of podcast might disappear. Is that what I don't know if you're saying that or if what you think about that.
I think that that's a conversation that needs to be continually had. And I think that that's a relevant conversation to talk about. I don't think that it will go away. I don't think so at all, because there's too many of us. That's the whole, I think that's what the biggies, the ones that are sitting down.
But there were too many, but there were so many mom and pop stores too, grocers and pharmacists and apothecaries and shoes, you know, salesmen and tailors, and who the F goes to their own tailor these days. You just go to the dry cleaner, or, you know, you have it done at Nordstrom's if you buy from you know what I mean? Like, when's the last? Well, I know you've never been to a tailor. I don't even know if I've ever been to one myself, because pants are so cheap. You just throw them out and get another $20 pair.
Right. I don't know the answer to that question. I think it's a great question to continue to talk about, you know, and part of it too is that I've seen that there's going to be that's why I want to kind of helm a specific part of this movement that's happening, because I do feel that there are the majority, if you ask a podcaster, any of you guys that are listening, most of the time, the two things that they will ask for is, you know, they want more promotion, they want to be seen more, they want to be heard more, they want more listeners. And number two, they want more sponsors, right? So they're like those two things, even if it's like one or the other, it's like most of them are like, look at me, you know, I'm podcasting, I want more listeners. Mm-hmm. And people get so sad about not having very many listeners because mm-hmm. their point of view is seeing like these larger entities. And it's a different mindset. Like when I first started podcasting, when there are a lot of the podcasters back in the day started podcasting, we weren't really noticing or focusing on download numbers or monetization for that matter. It was really mostly about self-expression and it was mostly mm-hmm. about community. And I'm not here to be kumbaya and not think that there's a viable business model or even for any kind of business model that you want to have around it. But I do feel that that core reason for to getting behind the mic is being overlooked by the larger entities. And it really means a lot to a lot of people. And it's not being talked about. And, you know, and here's the other thing too. At this point in time, we are no longer going to be sort of bowing to the larger, like Walmart of the world anymore, just because that's because they are so big and cheap, right? We each have mm-hmm. the power right now to be creators. We have the power to create video. We have the ability to create awesome audio. Now you see that media itself is looking to the populace to report on news themselves. So mm-hmm. I think that that's not going to change. I feel that there is a level of refinement that there's going to be people who are really, there's going to be one of those people that are going to be really, really good at it. They're going to be like, not necessarily procasters, but they're going to be very good at creating incredible content with the little that they have, and they're going to be spot on. And then there's going to be those people who just really just, again, for God's sake, I was listening to another podcast that I was really intrigued by the title. It was about homeschooling. And I thought, mm-hmm. this seems like this is going to be the best conversation I want to hear. And as soon as I downloaded it, it was a recording of a phone call. And it just breaks my heart because I'm like, you don't have to put out this kind of content. You can actually create so much better, especially yeah. if you're putting this stuff out there. I'm kind of diverging. I do believe that we have a voice, and I feel that 90 to 95% of podcasters that are currently out there are not represented in what media is representing right now.
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing.
What do you do? You create the platform. You create something like, what's his name? Nick Kwa?
Yep, is that his name.
Okay. So anyway.
Hot Pod.
So he's got a fabulous.
But he reports on corporate podcasts.
Exactly. He does. And but here's what I like about Hot Pod. I like his voice. Meaning in the written form, because he's not podcasting randomly, but he is in the written form. He's very himself. He has opinions. He's funny. He's irreverent. He's connected into the pulse of GIFs, whatever you want to call them, into memes, into all that kind of stuff. And he's very, very astute and super smart. And mm-hmm. and it was that commentary that got him noticed, right? Because he has a little bit of an insider kind of I don't even know how to say it, access. I think he has access to a lot of these companies. And because he was getting seen so much that people started to give him the power to report, right? So now he works for Slate, I do believe. No, Panoply. Mm-hmm. He was hired for a Panoply now. And he's, I'm not sure what his actual day job is, but he was scooped up because he's a smart guy, right? I totally understand mm-hmm. that. But at the same time, it's like that nobody that is that committed is there for the most of us that is representing the voice of the people. And I do believe that there is a place for that.
Why can't you be that?
I could. I want to. But at the same time.
But
it's work, man. I mean, I want to do it. I totally want to do it. I keep seeing things. And this has been something that I've been thinking about so much about the world. In podcasting. And that's why I was so passionate about Thanks Podcasting. And I think that there was one negative comment that we had.
We had a negative comment?
Not we. Me, or maybe me, or us in, on Libsyn about Thanks Podcasting, which I believe was a dig.
How dare you?
And it was somebody who tweeted out, like, I was, you know, supporting all the stuff, and then all of a sudden somebody tweeted out, like, oh, something that alluded to the fact that we were doing this so that we could, oh, how nice that you're getting all this free content, and, like, basically mooching off of somebody else's work.
How's that possible?
Because we are promoting other podcasters. So basically what his point of view was
a way to take the whole point and twist it around
exactly,
to be an
right?
evil fuck.
Exactly. And so then I sat there and I said, that never entered my mind when I created this project. I didn't
of course
see
it
like
didn't.
How can I use other podcasts.
Of course it didn't enter your mind. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in the history of dumbness.
I know. And so then I got really, and that really hurt because that's the last thing I thought of. And I kind of like let it go, of course, right? I never.
You should let it go
I
because no one thinks that.
Right. But I was just thinking like, how interesting that this guy, I was thinking that we were taking advantage of people, you know?
Well, he's so obviously a blithering idiot.
But the whole feeling about that project was so positive, and people really put themselves out there and told mm-hmm. these stories that were, and then when I kept hearing, I'm like, they don't have the resources. Some of the audio was less than stellar. They were just trying to do what I asked, but the content itself was always really good. That's mm-hmm. what I don't think people are talking about. The power that we as human beings have to impact each other with our voices, not with our nicely crafted storytelling skills with all kinds of teams producing our content. So anyway,
yeah.
That's it. That's what I have to say.
I mean, what's the first article you would write if you could write an article like that?
It's time to listen to the people. No, podcasting.
All right, have it
not
on my desk by Friday.
Oh, great. No, it's like, it's really, it's not about, it really is, it's not about the download numbers. Like, I crafted all this stuff like for the Thanksgiving you know, the Thanks Podcasting podcast. I crafted all of the text from that. Like, it's all kind of written out to some degree. And what I really wanted from that, and that's something I'm still going to see if I can do, is I wanted to put press releases out and support the podcasters, not Libsyn, the podcasters. We will benefit because we put it out, of course. But it's really about giving voice to all of those that nobody ever talks about.
Right, of course.
You know, because every article that I read now, you know, what does it say? What's the first thing that it says? Serial has to be quoted in at least the first or second sentence in every single article.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of wanted to use all of these cat words in the first like part of the article and just write sentences and just say like, here, I have to get this out of my chest. Serial was, you know, just put it out because every article talks about the same thing and they all quote each other. So
yeah and it's annoying.
And it is annoying. It totally
it's
is.
It's enough already. Stop so talking to yourselves.
All right, dude. So there's that, people. So if you guys have any ideas or if you, you know, have anything to say to me, you let me know. So
what do you guys think about Elsie's idea? Should she pursue power to the people of podcasters? Or
power
should
to
she?
The people.
Yeah, there's know. No. But
We could.
You'll see. Well, we'll hear some feedback and I'd love to hear your feedback about that. It would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Talking about
I mean, it sounds like something you're passionate about. Dump something else and do that instead.
All right. Well, we'll see.
That went over well. That went over like that idea was like a lead balloon for
Elsie.
Oh, LC.
My God. It's so
bonk.
Much. So much. So
anyway. Well, I guess we've reached the end of our – we've overstayed our welcome.
We have overstayed our welcome now. We're like, boom, boom. So, yes, but thank you. You guys for listening to us a rant on this day that we had no focus.
Next time we'll have show notes, but I think we did okay without
them.
We did okay.
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you again to Boss Jock for being our sponsor for this episode and also to John Bucanis of Audio Editing Solutions. And please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/shepodcast. And our group is facebook.com/group/shepodcast. And then Twitter is @shepodcast. And what else? Clamor is @shepodcast. And now Pinterest is @shepodcast.
Yeah, we have a lot of she podcasts.
But, and then stay tuned. If you want to get on our list, please do, because we are going to have another holiday sale. If you missed this last one for whatever reason, we will have another holiday sale closer to a holiday, probably.
Sweet. We'll see.
And I guess we should probably talk about what that's going to be so far in advance.
Yeah, that's right. I know, right? Oh, my God.
But I was happy with our Thanksgiving sale. What about you?
It was awesome. It was really great.
All's well that ends well.
I was so excited because I felt like we were doing like a public service announcement. Like I was like, this PSA, people, like it was the first time I felt like, dude, you guys need to get this. You all are whining about this stuff.
Well, and also I sort of felt like either people didn't know about it or they just were waiting for a sale or something. But I was really happy because it's like, yay, they're going to learn stuff.
That's what I felt.
It really wasn't about yay money. It was really more about like, I'm so happy that people are taking advantage of the content that we put out, and I hope it's useful. And it made me feel good that, I don't know, it was one of the first times I've ever done like a sale or a launch on something that I felt like people appreciated it. I don't know what that says about me, but probably not much. But I don't know. I just, for one of the first times that I felt like, yeah, like we were doing a common good, and it was nice.
I agree.
So thank you guys, everyone who bought a course from us. And yes, you can take a look at shepodcast.com/shop if you want to see what's in there. And you can either make a purchase or you can wait until we have a holiday sale. But make sure you get on our email list so you don't miss it.
Yeah.
And then I guess I'm going to go do some more auditioning for voiceover work.
Well, good. That would be really fun and exciting. Good for you. La la.
Thanks. What are you going to go do?
Oh, my God. I just want to clean up the house. That'll make me feel better.
Elsie's going to go dump her head in a bucket of cold water.
Yes.
And then go about her day.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, take care. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
Bye. The